All right, going right along in line with every event that we throw, we're right on time and we're completely in order. So the next person, these people are laughing, they know what I'm not really telling the truth. Next person up in line is Mark Passio.
Yeah, Mark.
Mark runs a show called What on Earth is Happening every week, 9 at 5 on Sundays. Go to whatonearthishappening.com, check it out. Mark is always a Philly favorite when it comes to these end-of-Fed rallies, so give it up for Mark Passio.
Thank you all for coming out today. I'm here to speak to you today about information that goes far beyond the symptom called the Federal Reserve System. Information which delves into the human condition, our perceptions of reality, and the current state of our world in general. Many of us here today are aware, largely, or at least in part, that human freedom is in a deplorable state, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Instead of just focusing on symptoms, such as the Federal Reserve and endless other manifestations of tyranny and injustice that we can see with our own eyes on a day-to-day basis, I want to call your attention to why this is happening, to why such a loss of freedom is taking place in our world. Only when we have a firm knowledge of the root causal factors, or the why, of any given problem can we ever hope to be empowered with the understanding that is required to solve that problem. I'd like to mention a few of the major factors which are collectively resulting in the withdrawal of freedom from our lives. We would be wise to acknowledge these factors while there is still a measure of time to address them and to make an effort toward correcting them. One causal factor is that the vast majority of human beings are currently living completely self-centered lives, where the overwhelming amount of their daily concerns are all about service to self. Most people endlessly indulge the base physical desires only, but spend precious little time and effort to quench the thirst of the spirit, which seeks for us to learn, grow, and evolve in awareness and understanding. In the aggregate, very little of our concerns are about service to others, and even less are about service to truth. Most human beings have not yet figured out that the presence of tyranny is inversely proportional to the presence of truth in our lives. When we stop caring about truth, freedom is inevitably withdrawn from us. And whether we accept truth is ultimately a choice that is made at the level of the individual. So then, what basic truth have we completely lost touch with? Sadly, and even strangely, the bulk of humanity is almost completely detached from a truth as simple and basic as the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong. Yes, it is sad, but true, that most of us have no idea what actions we do have a right to take, or in other words, which actions are rights, because they do not cause harm to another, and which actions are, by definition, wrongs, because they do cause harm to another. This objective knowledge of the definitive difference between right and wrong action is called conscience. That's right, conscience is actually knowledge, the word being derived from the Latin prefix con, meaning together, and the Latin verb sciere, meaning to know. The same origin of the word science. Putting them together, we see that conscience actually means to know together. Humanity as a whole. I'm sorry, conscience actually means to know together, or in other words, to have common sense. Humanity as a whole, unfortunately, has lost touch with common sense, and as a result, has also experienced a subsequent loss of freedom, since these two dynamics, conscience and freedom, are inextricably interwoven and proportionally present in our world. Concurrent with the loss of conscience is the rise of moral relativism, which has become a common ideology among most people in our society. Moral relativism is the erroneous belief that there is no objective reality concerning right and wrong action. It is based upon the previously mentioned ignorance of right and wrong, and a belief that man himself can ever possibly turn a wrong action into a right action through legislation or even through pure justification. A society moving deeper into the psychologically diseased belief system of moral relativism is a society moving deeper into chains of bondage. Many of us who have a severely poisoned worldview, meaning that the way we look at humanity as a whole is through a distorted and programmed perception that humanity is somehow inherently bad, valueless, and incapable of changing. Make no mistake, this worldview is exactly how those who are currently ruling us want us to think. And all those who stay attached to such a poisoned worldview are helping to perpetuate the status quo of tyranny, injustice, and servitude. People who have fallen into such limiting states of consciousness, having no anchoring in common sense, believing in moral relativism, and possessing a horribly degrading view of their fellow beings, will almost invariably identify themselves with a false religion. With a false religion. An unthinking, unquestioning, dogmatic belief in an illusion. The illusion that binds them, the illusion that becomes their false religion, is authority. The belief that certain individuals have the right to rule over others, and that their subjects have a moral obligation to obey their commands, regardless of how arbitrary or even immoral those commands may be. All who believe in this false religion called authority suffer from the psychological conditions of self-loathing and a severe lack of true self-respect. Those who are honest with themselves will see this to be simply and plainly the truth. True self-respect is born through deep introspection and ultimately self-mastery, which the devotees of the religion called authority are too lazy to engage in. The word respect is also derived from Latin. The prefix re in Latin means again, and the verb spectare means to look at. Hence, true respect means to look at again, or to take another look at oneself. Members of the cult of authority don't want to do this work upon themselves. They want answers handed to them by those they consider superior to them, without having to do any work for or upon themselves. They want to be told what to do, instead of discovering for themselves the right course of action. They want to abdicate their own personal responsibility for making such important choices, which are always dependent upon knowledge and understanding. They believe erroneously that obedience to so-called authority is somehow a virtue, instead of recognizing it for what it really is, the path to evil and annihilation. as even a cursory examination of world history would make undeniably evident. Authority believers are actually subconsciously aware of their latent self-loathing tendencies, and in a feeble attempt to compensate for their self-inadequacies, they desperately cling to a pathologically unhealthy desire to control others. Most never escape the religion of authority, the religion of slavery, once they have become its double T's. Even more amazingly, or perhaps more frightfully, is the fact that there exists an even more powerful religion. Yes, it is even more difficult to escape from the mental chains in which this religion has almost the entire human race bound so tightly in its chains. That is the second universal false religion called money, which drives and rules above the religion of authority. Money could be said to be even beyond a religion, that it has indeed become most people's god. It has become their god. Even many of those who can see the encroaching death of freedom in our society will not speak out against it or desist in their course of action, which is complicit with tyranny, because their jobs may depend on it, and they fear being without their god money. Some even love the control system in which they and their own children live in, because they profit from it financially. Such degraded beings are all around us, and as long as we as a people continue giving our mind, our care, and our will over to the false god of money, we will continue to be enslaved in a prison of our own making. For money is the god of the slaves. Perhaps saddest of all is that most who have lived in a state of dependency and tyranny their entire lives have grown so complacent and completely accepting of their loathsome condition, and have come to feel the responsibility and the self-reliance that true freedom would mean. Tragically, in a land where our ancestors fought and died for independence, most have grown to love being dependent. Many have also developed a severe disrespect for knowledge, and we see a widespread de-emphasis upon reading in our society. In the ancient Roman Republic, the very same word, liber, the word liber in Latin, was used to mean both book, and free. That is how important reading was to our ancient ancestors. Perhaps they knew something that we have forgotten, that freedom and ignorance cannot coexist. Where one is present, the other is dispersed. For those who may be thinking that my words today have been a little too harsh, I bring us to the next dynamic that is keeping us all enslaved, and that is denial. Denial is driven by the fear of having to look honestly at and acknowledge and assess the truth of our current situation, which is where any solution must start. We must have no fear of honestly looking at the depths of darkness to which we have come. For there is a lesson in it. As long as we remain in denial of the causal factors for our condition, no change can ever be possible. As all the power to create true, lasting, and positive change lies in the accurate diagnosis of the problem, in understanding why the current condition was caused in the first place. We cannot live in fear. We must educate ourselves, truly educate ourselves, and come to know the injustices of the control system in which we all live. We must stop buying into the notion that we are powerless to do anything to change our situation. Ignoring the real problems and hoping they go away on their own never works. We must recognize and admit that we were wrong. This is not to say that humanity itself is a mistake, but we must be willing to acknowledge that we have been mistaken. The main power of the ego is its ability to keep us from admitting that we were wrong. Admission of wrongdoing is not a weakness. Admission of wrongdoing is not a weakness. But a strength. It is the first step toward forgiveness and reconciliation. And for those who have perpetuated and advocated the immoral system of control and violence that has ruled over our world for millennia, a cosmic apology is in order. It is my fervent hope that many here today will already have come to realize that the ultimate solution to the problems which beset humanity lies in saying no! Yeah. This is the last word! This is the word of all power! No! That is what we must say! In withdrawing our support and compliance from that which we know to be wrong, from any action or policy that is rooted in coercion and violence, saying no to evil is the only way to destroy it. It is the only path to order, the only path to harmony, to justice, and to peace. On the other hand, if we as a people continue to refuse to say no to wrongdoing and control and evil, we are embracing evil and we are spitting in the face of the truth. And in doing so, we are throwing our freedom directly into the cosmic trash bin. The why has been disclosed to us. We now have both the reasons for our situation and the main solutions before us. But the most important thing to understand and keep in mind is that the journey does not end with you knowing. The journey does not end with you knowing the truth. That is where it begins. That is where it begins. We all have to understand this isn't about just hanging out with people that we already agree with. People who already think like you do and understand this stuff already. This is about reaching out and touching the hearts and minds of others. It is about reaching out and helping to change other people's minds. And that is the hardest work that there is to do. That's the hardest work there is to do. Which is why that great work is so unpopular and why so few of us engage in it. And those who are engaged in it now will not be able to sustain that burden, the burden of that work, unassisted. We call upon you for help and assistance. If you sincerely want to change this world for the better, then come to the understanding that the real battlefield for freedom does not reside in the realm of politics, economics, or any other worldly institutions. The real battlefield resides within the human mind and heart. The real battlefield resides within the human mind and heart. That is where the war for the survival of philosophy, wisdom, truth, and freedom must be waged. Since conscience is the knowledge of right and wrong, the acquisition of that knowledge could be said to be true understanding. In turn, true wisdom would then be the exercise of conscience. In other words, the application of that knowledge in a way that would truly empower us to improve our current conditions and ultimately to make our world a better place. An exceedingly wise man, Siddhartha Gautama, also known as the Buddha, once said that there are only two mistakes that one can ever make on the path to truth: not starting and not going all the way. Yeah. Words of wisdom. If we are ever to get out of the seemingly bottomless pit that we have collectively dug ourselves into, we must be willing to go all the way. Beyond the very heart of darkness, into the deepest recesses of the human mind and the human spirit, a frontier where we will not only discover the truth, but where we will discover that which ultimately matters most. We will discover ourselves. And from there, anything is possible. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your kind attention.